The nation's number one talk station, 99.3, Nigeria Info, Lagos. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. It's 7 minutes past the hour. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch us live right now on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, where you can join our conversation by watching and listening. If you don't have a mobile app yet, please do go get a mobile app from your respective app stores. Please go get it. It's right there for you, because we kind of on some days give out some free stuff on our mobile app. So please, talking about giving out stuff, today is Monday, so it's Treasure Hunt Day. Let me tell you that you can win 5,000 there across all our shows. We call the game Treasure Hunt. So you need to go and get our mobile app. We'll announce the treasure that you need to hunt for. And then once the first person to find and submit, because once you find it, you click on it and a form will come out. Then you would impute your details, because it's through the details that we'll be able to reach out to you. So it's that process is very, very necessary. But the first person to do all of this and submit is the one that will win 5,000 naira. So here is the treasure that you're looking for. You're looking for a picture of the peace symbol in today's treasury treasure hunt. The picture of the peace symbol. Just be the first to get this and submit, and then you're winning 5,000 naira. It's as simple as that. Okay. All right. Bola Olajide, a seasoned social commentator, is right here in the studio with me. Initially, we had planned to talk about the APC primaries, party primaries, but the event of yesterday at St. Francis Catholic Church, Owo in Akure, in Ondo, is our major focus. Well, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. I don't know how good the money is, yeah. But, well, we're still here. So, good morning.
When you heard what happened in Owo yesterday, what crossed your mind? I'll tell you my own. I was blank. I didn't know what to think.
You know, before the Owo incident, I'd always been able to say that the safest part of Nigeria is the southwest.
That's right.
So that hit me like some thunderbolt. I didn't know where that came from. I was like, oh, okay. Will I still be able to make that comment any longer? If terrorists could enter into a church and massacre people the way they did. And a sad part to that, another sad part to that story was that even as the stories were breaking, they were breaking with conclusions about who the terrorists are, why they did it. And I also find that a bit embarrassing. Embarrassing because even the planners and executors of the dastardly act probably knew that as the news is breaking, it is breaking with conclusions. What if we were wrong? What if we were wrong? The way we reach conclusions in Nigeria is amazing. If someone is said to have, someone left a suicide note and then he was found dead, the conclusion is that he committed suicide. Who told you he committed suicide? Because there was a suicide note, or because you saw cyanide, or you saw the common chemical they normally use somewhere on the table. So the conclusion by a Nigerian is that person committed suicide. If you find a man hanging from a fan, the conclusion in Nigeria is that he committed suicide. He hung himself. Who told you he hung himself? And it is the same way as these stories were breaking. They were breaking with things like Fulani headers, Boko Haram, Islamization, touching the ocean with the Quran. How did you know? As a matter of fact, these are conclusions that require no thinking, no work, no questioning of the fact of the stories, nothing. Just open your mouth and say it. These cannot be the way to solve problems.
Someone even deliberately shared a fake video of an arrest of one insurgent somewhere in other parts of the country. Not knowing that others had seen the video days before yesterday.
They could even start sharing the one that happened in Kenya or Somalia and say this is the person or one of the people that had been arrested at that scene. Mm. The issue of fake news is there. The issue of easy conclusion without thinking, without questioning the fact, is also there, and it is a major problem. And I wonder if that doesn't take away from the rigors that we should put into investigating exactly what happened in these instances.
So another thing that bothered me yesterday when I saw, because I watched the view, the different kinds, was how people trooped into the crime scene unhindered, unabated,
with video, with their phones and making videos.
Yes, that seemed to be the order of the day, where a nasty incident happened and everybody was just there policing the crime scene. And who knows, the clue that could have led to, you know, tracing these guys and catching them could have been lost
in that event. But you see, whose duty was it to have done that? Is the police, the investigative agency, should have been there, cordoned off the area.
That's right.
And that is how it happens in other crimes that we know of. But what happened in that particular case? It was a free-for-all. Hmm. Everybody could come in and bring their phone and start recording the gory situation. That was a lot. How many policemen are even in Ogun? That was one of the earliest things that came to my mind.
That's right.
You look at the population of the Nigerian police, a huge percentage of who already are allocated to politicians, and CEOs and all the rest of them. The remaining ones, just mentally try to divide them among 774 local governments and see how many can each local government reasonably have in Nigeria. Even if, I mean, there were also reports that said, oh, even the policemen could not move, maybe the vehicle was not in a functional state, and those kind of things. It is possible, because we are in a season where police even buy uniforms for themselves. So how much more is the issue of functional vehicle? There may be no fuel. There may be, anything could have happened.
Mm.
Even if there was fuel, will 10 police, I'm just saying, I don't know how many police. How excited would they be to want to move to the site of a terrorist attack? You're not sure of the kind of weapons you're going to meet there. You know, so all the is a very complicated scenario, and I hope we first of all discard this issue of reaching conclusion before investigations at all, so that we can go into the nitty gritty of what happened.
Could that have been,
and we'll solve the problem?
The conclusion thing is a problem, a huge problem. But could that have been as a result of the failure of the state to pass a strong message, especially on terrorists,
of
the
course.
Ones, yes.
Of course. It is the failure of the state that have brought us to where we are. Because look, if the state has been effective at doing what it is supposed to do and has been communicating in a firm way on what is supposed to be the situation, we will not be in a position in which we are making conjectures about what is going on. It will be emphatic. Oh, the ones that did that one, we have arrested them. Here they are. They'll face the law. They are jailed. Or the law prescribed as a punishment.
Right.
But for as long as we are not doing that, we leave that gap for people to impute their own interpretation of what is going on. So it goes back to the government in the fulfillment of it. Up till now, 13 years after, we don't have a single sponsor of terror in Nigeria prosecuted, thoroughly investigated, prosecuted, and punished. Not one. So if we live in that kind of a society, what do you expect the people to do? They take their cue, they make their own interpretations, and they fill the gaps.
How do we move on from here? How this whole situation is scary, to say the least. What should be the next step?
I have actually lost hope that there will be anything dramatic done by this government, because I think I'm not saying they are not making effort. I believe they are making effort, and our armed forces are also doing their best, even within the problem of possible fifth columnists in their own midst as well. Because you can imagine what the military is facing, knowing that there might be some of their own members that are doing things that are not particularly in the right way to go. How do they feel? I also know that in the Northeast, there has been a significant curtailment of what used to happen in that area. So I'm not saying that the government has not done its bit. But it appears to me that it has already done what is its own best, and that we may not be able to get further from this particular government.
That's quite scary. Let me take a few calls, and we talk a bit about Amoteku and the impact of that vigilante outfit, especially in the southwest here. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 is our studio line. Good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Okay, we're going to take another one quickly. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, please. Morning.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo.
Let's hear it.
From Orile Gomu.
Let's talk.
Sari Gomu, precisely. See, Sheriff, what I felt that we should do now, I don't know whether how many forests do we have in this nation? Let them start bombing those forests. Or let's agree that we are going to have collateral damages and losses. So let them bomb those forests so that those people that are hiding in those forests, they can come out. I think for me, from body language from the presidency too, is encouraging some of these things. It's not helping us. Do you know now that everything has almost collapsed? Everybody is focusing on primary. Why the secondary things have been done? Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you too. I'm going to be Uche now, who's in Kaja. Uche, hi. Morning to you.
Yeah, Sheriff, my brother, I greet you once more.
Welcome.
Uche, how about
you? I greet you, my brother. Yeah. You see, let me just reiterate what I said earlier on when I called this morning. And the last caller also, pointed in that direction. Look, I think what the Southern governors should do now is to come together. Ogabolaho, you are skilled in these things. What does the Constitution say about the region of the country inviting mercenaries to fight crime in
Which
Constitution says.
Okay. I don't think we can a region can do that.
Okay. Now, but look, we cannot satisfy the books at our own detriment. We have to stay alive first before we begin to observe whatever is written in a book. That's the point we have gotten to now. That's the point we have gotten to now.
Thank you, Jay, for calling. Good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. Let's jump on another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. That's gone as well. We'll take another. Morning to you. Your name is what?
Adebayo. Adebayo.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was very sudden and unfortunate what happened.
Adebayo, we can't hear you clearly.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, let's try again.
It's very, very unfortunate what happened in Nawa yesterday.
Okay.
Nawa is my town. I grew up in Nawa.
Oh.
That church, personally, is my church. St. Francis can reach out to work. And it's very, very unfortunate my younger brother was among the victims.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I see this thing coming for long. Because the way all those northern part of the country are migrating to this southwest is becoming alarming. And nobody, our government are not doing anything. Nobody said nobody should not migrate from one place to another. But they should have identity where they are staying. I still discussed with my what's the call, Esther Sharma yesterday about how those people are coming. They are building shanties in the power line. They have wrote a letter to a government. They are not doing anything. No place is safe.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I'm on my way traveling to my town now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was very, very unfortunate.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm really, really sorry for your loss.
That's where we have found ourselves, Sheriff. And I just hope it will be different this time around. There is problem in the, it started in the Northeast, it's gone to the Northwest. North Central has never really been out of it. North Central is Benue, Plateau, there is Kogi always some crisis around that side. Now, Southeast has been on fire for a while as well. So, Southwest now, how are we going to handle this? To ensure that the message is sent very strongly, more than we've ever sent it, that terrorism will not be allowed unequivocally. So, and there is no better way to do that than to get all the guys that committed all of this,
yeah,
and bring them to book. They are sponsors. Do you know that? Which is why I'm always annoyed at this easy conclusion. You know, I was reading a declassified document about the Chad. By the time I finished reading that intelligence report, my conclusion was that it is even possible that the Boko Haram phenomenon was a creation by other governments. Not even the people that we saw, one fanatic somewhere. Government outside of Nigeria who were interested in that. I've started seeing things about even the ones in Owo now being, maybe they are external people. They might be external. If they are external people, what are they doing all the way in Owo? What is their business in Owo? They did not come to kidnap. They did not kidnap. They are not asking anybody for money. They just came there to waste lives and send a message of terror to the people. What do they have in mind? These are some of the questions we must ask rather than reaching conclusion it's from Fulani boy. If from Fulani boy suddenly shows up in a church, people will not go know, say, which one be this again? You know. So I'm counting on the governor. I know he has been very passionate about the security of the people in the Southwest.
He's been very vocal.
Very vocal as well. That he will rise up to the occasion. Incidentally, Owo is also his own hometown.
That's right.
You know, and ensure that this will be the last, emphatically so, by every definition.
Let's talk about Motekun. One would have thought that Motekun should be able to send some kind of message. The presence of Motekun, especially in Ondo, could be able to spread some kind of message to anybody, any evildoer in any forest, especially in Ondo. But that seemed to have failed in doing that.
I actually read something, you know, that was dated before that period, that sort of anticipated that some things might happen. Some sort of intelligence report, I would say. But you see, it is also, intelligence is the heart of it all. But you must be able to do something about the intelligence you have gathered.
Hold your thought there. Well, let's take this short break. When we return, we'll talk some more about intelligence and acting on intelligence. Lagos, Nigeria. We'll take this short breather and we'll be right back. Stay with us here on Nigeria Info 99.3.
On 99.3, Nigeria Info.
We're back on the crossfire here on 99.3, Nigeria Info. I am Sheriff Quadri Gbolahan Olajide is here with me. Before the break, we're talking about Motekun intelligence and acting on intelligence.
Yes. Intelligence is at the heart of solving problems like this. No doubt about that. But when the intelligence is on the table, what do you now do with that intelligence? If you remember 9/11, it wasn't for lack of intelligence. People, the agencies of government knew that something was in the offing. But something failed along the line and they did not act on that intelligence, and 9/11 happened by virtue of that failure. So it is not enough. It is most important to gather intelligence. It is even more important to act on the intelligence so gathered to ensure that what the intelligence was meant to prevent is actually prevented. So if Motekun had intelligence that this was going to happen and they say it, so what happens after they have said it? What were the specific steps that has to do with the interagency collaboration with among the security operatives? If Motekun knows something, is the police aware of it? Is the military aware of it? Is the DSS aware of it? And what are the roles? What is even the escalation process when things happen? When the event, look at the recent killing in the US. Kids, we are talking of children, we're making 911 calls. That's an escalation process. That when you find yourself in this kind of thing, you know exactly what to do. What is the escalation process in our own case? What is the organization around even an event like that? When the first gunshot went off, are there mechanisms for picking the fact that there are gunshots going off somewhere?
So we have that kind of technology.
Cordon off that environment and ensure that whoever is involved cannot escape. Do we have things like that? So intelligence is important and critical at the heart of it.
Yeah.
But how we take necessary actions on that intelligence is the next thing. There are military bases not far from there as well. I know Akure has military bases. Akure from Owo. It's not such a distance. Mm. You know. So but if the intelligence collaboration and communication is not well woven together, there would be failure. I doubt if the police or the military were able to show up at that arena until all this was over.
What should the Southwest, because I don't want to see this as Arakunrin's problem alone.
No.
I want to see this as a regional problem. What should the regional governors be doing right now? The Southeast, the South-South, the Southwest. What should be
the paramount? Message is clear to them, or should be clear now, that the terrorism is not a northern affair. It is here. And the collaboration, the interstate collaboration, look, if I'm taking certain steps to ensure that they don't come to my domain, but if my neighbor is not doing the same thing, I will still be in that same problem. Because what it would take is that I would chase them away from my own borders. They go into the next place and they cause trouble there. Mm-hmm. And they can from time to time come into my own border and do whatever they need to do. So there has to be collaboration. We saw this happen even in the north when certain center of activities, you know, suddenly you start seeing the spread to neighboring states. So that is why we should be more concerned here. It's not just Anakete's wahala. It is the Southwest wahala, even beyond the Southwest. The invigoration, empowerment of, you know, funding, appropriate funding of the Amotekun has to be considered.
Okay.
The military is a bit stretched. The military is also not cut out for community-to-community kind of monitoring of events. That's not what they are for, you know. So, but an institution like Amotekun can do that. Well, it must be properly funded to be able to do it. Communication equipment, welfare of the people, even things like drones, whatever level of, you know, aids that they require to deliver on what we want them to deliver on must be provided.
Indeed. Yeah.